Welcome to the Round 22 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Sounding a bit sick over there.
Yeah, I'm fairly blocked up, and I'm sure you guys can hear it already, so I'm going to try and keep my speaking to a minimum, which is good because we have a guest to join us this week, and Dunny, I hope you're ready to chat, mate.
Good to be back, mate, and yeah, we can do a bit more chatting for you this week.
Okay, that's good. This week, as we did in the last couple, we're going to just look at general trade questions, look at the finals run, and some rookies. So before we get into the show, we'll just start with a personal update for the round. Mark, why don't you kick us off?
Things just went terribly for me on the weekend. On Saturday night, I was absolutely cruising. I was looking like I was going to win a lot of all my prelims. I was going to post to 2,600 and ended up losing like five finals in the end on the Sunday. Just Bartel 48, Sloan 77 were the real causes, Cochin 74. Like, I'm expecting 350 from those guys and I got less than 200. So yeah, that really bummed out my score in the end, I guess. I got 24-15. So like, I guess I did okay, but I went down about 100 spots in the ranking, down to 939. How'd you go?
I scored 24-29, so just pipped you, Mark. I did think I was going to lose after you had Rocky with a VC and you have Zorko. I'm neither of those players. I started off really well on the Friday night, though, with Bont. He scored 137, and Treloar, he was massive as well, 148. So that probably helped carry my score a little bit. I also had some of the culprits you had, Mark, with Wells, Bartel. There was a few poor scores thrown in there. Dangerfield as captain really wasn't very inspiring, and that's been a couple of weeks in a row now. He only scored 101, so that could have potentially seen me move out to a little bit more of a lead if Dangerfield scored a bit more, but I'll take that nonetheless.
Even with Dangerfield expecting to get a 150, I was still a favourite going into Sunday against you, and yeah, it just didn't work out. At least the Bombers won, though, and I was there. Woo!
I figured you must have been more than happy enough with that win to carry over for Supercoach. So good to hear you've got some positivity in your voice this week, mate. Dunny, how'd you go over the weekend?
Yeah, not quite as good as you boys did. I was a little bit behind you. I scored a 23.66, still sitting comfortably outside the top 10,000. My miserable season has continued, and I think a bit like Faz last week, I'm keen for it to finish. I had some good performers, though. I had Hannabry and Parker in the middle with their big scores at 131, 126. Zorko with his 151, and Mumford with 128. But I actually put my VC this week on Bontempelli with his 137, and I banked that score. And I'm pretty glad I did, because I would have gone Dangerfield if I didn't do that. But like you guys, I had some poor performers as well. I had Jimmy Bartel with his 48. Roy Sloan, 77. That was pretty disappointing. I'd expect a lot more out of him. And I actually kept Aaron Hall for all these weeks, and his 87 probably wasn't quite what I was hoping for out of him, but first game back, I guess I have to take it.
Yeah, I'd Hall as well, mate. Are you good on the Mummy train as well?
In my ruck division, I had Steph Martin and Jacobs all year and had to do those trades a couple of weeks ago, so I brought in Mumford and Grundy.
Oh, Grundy's a nice one, mate. Both of those boys going all right.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the trades. I just didn't want to have to use two trades on my ruck division.
Yeah.
All right, on to a group update. The top score for our Supercoach Coach group was 26-43, and that was Ben's Fort Bondi. So well done to you, Ben. That moved you close to the top 1,000 at 1,049th. Massive. And we also have a new group leader. That's James's Audaciously Ava with a massive score of 25.72, pushing him up to 36th. So massive congrats to you, James. Hopefully you can stay up there for the last couple of rounds. We've got to get straight into the show now and start off with a look at the finals run home. So there's only two games left now, but if you're playing in a Supercoach league, these are arguably the most important weeks of the season. So let's take a look at who has the best two games to finish the season with. And we'll start off with the non-top eight players with particularly good draws. So that's Carlton with Melbourne and Essendon to come, and St Kilda with Richmond and Brisbane to come. As a kicker to our look at the final two games, we've got a question here from Shannon Swan asking about side swap options for premiums limping to the end. So for people who have plenty of trades left or who've saved trades for finals, who in these teams might you consider trading into? So Carlton and St Kilda, any blokes that you guys would consider, or even PODs at this point in the season?
Yeah, I think the two that stand out are probably Cripps and Stephen. I guess my concern would be that Brisbane played St Kilda in the last round, and although it's great to be playing Brisbane, if you're the number one mid, you're copying Mitch Robinson, and he's still doing a pretty decent job on a lot of players, but those two are probably the guys that stand out.
Would you consider any forwards from those non-top eight teams, or is that too risky?
Yeah, I'd definitely consider Nick Riewoldt, because he's been still in pretty good form. He seems to hurt himself every week, but just gets up and just keeps going every single week. Does Carlton have any forwards?
Probably not, but I guess Doherty and Simpson are obvious ins as well. To the top eight teams with a good run home, there's four standout options at the moment. We'll start off with Sydney and GWS. They both play North. Sydney play North this week, and then Richmond in the last week, and GWS play Frio this week and North in the final. So even though they play a top eight team, North haven't really been playing quite like a top eight team since their blistering start. So there could be some decent points there. GWS were upset on the weekend, but you'd think that they'd want to take vengeance on Frio this weekend.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will. They'll be looking for a big win there. The only thing that concerns me about GWS players will be the fact that whilst they have North in the last round, that game is at Etihad. And I've always still got that question mark on those guys when they travel down to Melbourne. Having said that, though, you know, someone like Cornelio, certainly be looking at someone like him big time.
Yeah, even maybe Devin Smith, who's been on a pretty good run lately. Even Toby's been doing all right for you, Marcus.
Yeah, in recent weeks, he's been exceptional. 122, 91, 100, 105, 107. The past 5 weeks, he's basically averaging close to 110 there. And I'm pretty surprised at that level of consistency. He's doing well.
Yeah, he's far too risky for me. I don't think I'd have the nerves to keep Toby in my side. You've done well, Marcus.
If he can finish the year off with a 95 average, that'd be good. He's at 92 now, so hopefully he finishes strong. Chatty Wingard, unfortunately, is my other sort of risky pick got injured on the weekend, Duddy. So we'll be asking you for replacement options in a little bit. But all right, we'll move to the next two teams with arguably the best runs home, and that's Geelong and Western Bulldogs. And they've been at the top of our list for a few weeks now, and they remain at the top. Geelong has Brisbane and Melbourne to come, and Western Bulldogs, they have Essendon and Frio.
Dalhouse really got on fire last week, and I think he's really marked himself as someone that is at 400,000 is probably someone you'll be bringing in. And Marcus, I'm imagining Wingard to Dalhouse will probably happen for you this week.
The only unfortunate thing is in 1 week, the sort of dollar situation has swung out of my favor. So I need to double trade to make the trade. I'm not sure that makes it worthwhile anymore.
Damn.
But at this point of the season, I guess you could make the argument that like you'd take Dalhouse against Essendon and Frio, perhaps over any other forward, you know, regardless of the fact that I have actually a bit more money to spend in bank.
Yeah, true. The forward options that probably aren't in your team don't necessarily, there's not really anyone that hugely stands out, I don't think.
With the Dogs, obviously, for those who don't have Bontempelli, he would definitely be the man to get if you've got the cash or if you've got an injury in that midfield that you need to bring in. I got him back in round 17 and have loved every minute of owning him. He's been fantastic for me. The other concern that I've heard around the place from people is that the Dogs do play Frio in Perth. But given that that's in round 23 and there's a bye the following week, I'm not that sure that they'll actually be resting players to head across there, because I don't know if they'd want their players to be having 2 weeks off prior to a, you know, potential elimination final the following week. What do you boys think about
Bont
that?
Bont does not seem like the sort of guy that wants to rest. He seems more like the danger sort of player that's like, just play me every week. I just got to play as much as possible.
Yeah, in terms of resting, I was thinking more like Boyd or someone like that who might be a candidate for a rest.
He had a bloody rest for three quarters after quarter time on the weekend into the last 3 minutes. I think that Bont is a great pick, and I was honestly hoping the Pandals didn't play last week and I could have just swapped him to Bontempelli. I've got the trades there. There's nothing really standing out this week that I have to use a trade on. I would have been quite happy to make that move last week.
All right, and if you're looking for Geelong players, they seem to be underperforming, so don't get on the Motlop train, that's for sure. That hasn't worked out.
Didn't you bring him in a couple of weeks ago, man?
Yeah, he scored 63 and 90 for me, mate, so not exactly brilliant, is it?
Yeah, it might have been a bit of a lucky 90 as well, mate, just getting a bit involved in that last quarter.
You know, Bartel scored a 48 and a 60 his last two, so I'm not quite sure what to make of the Geelong players, so I'm not going to go too crazy recommending them right now.
Even Selwood and Danger, like, only posted hundreds on the weekend.
Yeah, barely limped there. All right, we'll move off the run home now and just move to general trade questions. The first one here is from Brad Goddard. He has three trades left and no real issues to fix going for the league victory, and he's thinking about upgrading Daniel Rich. He's got 50K in bank. Is it too much to make a bench downgrade to get an elite backman, or should he sit tight with Daniel Rich and maybe get rid of Bartel instead? So basically, if you have three trades left, would you be torching two if you have no injury concerns and only keeping one for your last round, or would you actually recommend just doing a side swap this week and then keeping your two for round 23?
My personal preference is probably to just use one this week. I know that sounds a bit crazy, and maybe it won't happen this year, but just in the past, we've seen like round 23 just be really, really difficult and players not playing out the season in that last week. I think last season I had about like five donuts in round 23, just so many players were out. But then there was restings involved, so it is a bit hard to predict. I'd be tempted just to do, I don't know what Rich is worth at the moment, but Rich to Hawley or something like that. And just try and do it in one trade and save two for the who knows what happens in the final. But, I mean, look, with a couple of the bench players coming back on the weekend, maybe you're better off just going down to one and saving one for the grand final week. What do you reckon, Danny?
Yeah, I agree completely, mate. I think if it's me, I'd be looking to hold two trades for that final round. I reckon he should be sitting and waiting for a selection this week. I will not be surprised at all if Bartel is actually rested this week, given it, A, his poor form, but also B, the fact that they're heading up to Brisbane to play the Lions. To me, that just smells of rest up there.
And he's been really sucking. And I guess that it could put me in a situation this week where I end up using my last two trades and going into the last week with no trades.
I think it's a big risk for that. And I don't know, I'm not sure what Scott's attitude for resting is, given that there is that bye week to come. And that's probably the big unknown for us all this year. In the past, we would have expected a lot of resting next week once teams are locked either into the top four or something like that. But do coaches really want to rest? I think the biggest risk will be players who have got those little niggles and the team can't make finals. There's our stuff that we won't play this week and get their surgery done early. I'm not sure. But it's a bit more of an unknown this year.
If you do have Rich and 50K, though, you can hit even Matthew Boyd at 490,000. All right, next question is from at Reese Usden on Twitter. He has two trades left. With two trades to go, it's sort of an interesting conundrum. Do you use one? Do you use none? Do you use both? Thoughts on how to approach a two-trade situation if you're going for a league win?
That's a very, very tricky question because it could definitely go both ways. A little bit like the last question with the Rich thing. I'd kind of think I'd just hold off and just hope to make the grand final and hope that two trades makes a difference in the grand final. If you don't need them this week, just hope that the chips fall a different way next week and we see some injuries, I guess. I can understand that trades may end up being a lot less valuable in finals this year.
Are you happy with the amount of trades you have left, Mark? Two trades left?
Look, the way that things seem to be turning out, maybe I would have been better just to go for it a couple of weeks ago. Like, I've still got Deledio in my team. I didn't have any reason to trade him out on the weekend because I would have ended up putting Buddy on the bench and it would have cost me a bunch of points. So I've got an extra premium in there. I've been sitting a lot of premiums on the bench. Like, I've still got Aaron Hall. I've still got Daniel Wells. I guess in hindsight, what I would have done is probably move those guys on a bit earlier. And so I'm talking about using those trades maybe like 7 weeks ago or something.
And Dunny, how many trades do you have left?
Yeah, I'm down to two as well, mate. Like Mark said, I would have loved to have moved on Aaron Hall previously, but I knew my trades were going to be tight. I'm actually still running with Kerridge on field at the moment, which I really hate, but just due to other issues I've had in my team earlier in the year, I haven't been able to get rid of him. And when I could get rid of him, I didn't really want to because I didn't want to blow the trades on a guy who was actually playing. Ideally, I would have gotten rid of him probably 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago, but I made the decision to ride him out. And the fact that I had those two ruck issues in the last couple of weeks probably made that the right call, given that I've only got two trades left now with two rounds to go.
We could see some selection nightmares this week. Like, I think we're just all a bit buzzing after last week where people like Tom Phillips come in and you're like, wow, I've even got more bench cover than I had before. whether that happens again this week or whether we go back to the patterns of the previous few weeks and we end up having a bit of selection table carnage, those trades could become very, very valuable heading into the weekend.
Next question here is from Paul Jones or at MTown Ballers. Wingard and Brody Smith are never again. Cost him a top 1,000 in place. He's definitely trading Wingard out for Dalhouse, but Smith is a little bit trickier. I know we talked about not trading out underperforming players, but surely a player like Smith, would he be an exception?
Yep, he's definitely someone, if you had him on field, that you'd almost treat like a high-priced rookie. He's falling well below the premium standard in scoring week to week, so I think that Laird, Boyd, and Rance are all good options. I think, as Dunning said, there's some chance of Boyd resting. Rance has been in incredible form the last month, and it's just an irresistible sort of form that you just can't go past. I think, to understand the temptation to bring in Laird, he definitely racks up a heap of the ball, and he's a really solid, safe pick. But Rance's upside the last month has just been unbelievable. And I think that if you have the chance to get on, I'd be doing it.
Yeah, I agree, mate. And if you look at who Laird plays in the last 2 weeks, he plays Port this week and West Coast the week after. He had a 127 and then a 112 against those two opponents earlier in the year. So definitely one to go with.
We'll move on to the next part of the show now, looking at rookies. The two rookies on the bubble this week, you've got Riley O'Brien playing for Adelaide. He's a ruckman, scored 78 and 48 his first two games. And we've got Michael Close from Brisbane Lions. He's a forward and he scored 48 and then a massive 103 on the weekend.
Probably went out of the books against the Blues because they actually won that game. To be completely honest, rookies coming in at this time of year are all going to be pretty average picks, really.
Yeah, and you're on the ball there with O'Brien. I'm hearing word around town that Jacobs is definitely back this week. So having said that, I thought he might have been back last week. But, yeah, I wouldn't be bringing any of those guys in at the moment. If people do have four trades and they're going to double trade to make cash, I would be picking the absolute lowest player I could possibly find because you shouldn't be using them on field anyway.
Sometimes you'd even prefer to pick a player based on how late they play throughout the weekend so that you can maximise your loophole opportunities. So that might be even of a greater consideration.
And if you're going to do that, I'd be looking for someone from the Dogs because they play in the last game this week and I'm pretty sure they do again next week as well.
That's good for me because I've got that Bulldogs ruckman.
Luke Goats. I do,
man. He's been on my side all year.
And didn't he get actually like delisted mid-season for not meeting the professional standard?
Yeah, I think he's actually no longer on the list, so he's perfect.
Brilliant. All right, we'll move on to our captain's corner now. Did pretty well again last week. Dangerfield wasn't super, but my Gorn VC was pretty good. And Mark, you called Rockliffe out, so that was a massive one for you. Dunny, would you like to kick us off with this week's captain's corner? Who are you considering going with?
Wow, plenty of pressure. Thanks, guys. I think players that I'd be looking at would be either Hanbury or Parker from Swans against North Melbourne. I believe that game's in Tasmania this week, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
So
it
I think
it is, mate. Last time Buddy played North in Tasmania was 13.
Yeah, but that was with a different side. That was with the Hawks. But yeah, the other one you might want to consider as a VC option could be Dusty against St Kilda. Could be one to go with, or you might want to look at Cornelio against Fremantle. And then for my captain, I'd be looking at Dangerfield versus Brisbane on the Sunday.
I think Robinson went to Selwood last time, didn't he?
I think he did. That's the only risk, I guess, with that is, who's going to go to. And if you look at it from the other side with Rocky, who's Scott Selwood going to go to? Does he go to Rich or does he go to Rocky?
Nobody goes near Rocky.
I was hoping for that answer.
I think that Lions versus Cats on the Sunday, if you do need a captain's pick, Rocky versus Danger is going to be very interesting, especially given their recent form. Look, I think that the one that probably stands out to me is Dusty. He's just in such amazing form. You'd think that he'd do all right against the Saints on the weekend, and he might only post a 120, 130, but that's probably enough to take this week, I think. And the other one for me that I keep going to as a vice-captain option potentially is Heath Shaw. I know that his form hasn't been amazing, but just at home against Freo, it could be a really big week for him.
For me, I think it'll be either between Dusty Martin, I think I like that against Saints, Adam Treloar against Gold Coast. I don't think Gold Coast are playing super footy with the amount of injuries they have at the moment. His upside was shown to be pretty good on the weekend. Or Maxi Gorn, 168 the weekend before and 151 on the weekend. And they
never heard of him.
They play Carlton this week. So, I mean, you only get 2 hours and 10 minutes before you have to decide on whether or not to go with Dangerfield or Selwood. So you don't get to see the full game, but it's enough that you think you'd be able to make a fairly informed decision off that.
I think Maxie just loves the last 5 minutes of the third quarter. So as long as you see three-quarter time, you'll be fine.
Last question to round up this week's show. David Siddles is asking, what should he do with all his spare time now that he's crashed out in straight sets with two of the worst Supercoach weeks in history? Mark, I'm sure you're feeling a little bit like that.
Yeah, look, I've still got a few Cash League finals on this weekend, including one against you, sir. So still definitely a bit of interest this weekend. Unfortunately, the missus has crashed out, so she's probably not even going to want to watch footy this weekend, which would suck. But look, I'm bright. I'm happy, mate. With 17 weeks without a win, it was starting to really get to me. Cold weather, but we won on the weekend. So look, footy's awesome.
good.
Looking forward to the prelims and round 22. And yeah, footy's great. I hope the season doesn't finish.
That's a quick change of heart. Duddy, how about yourself, mate? Has your attention switched to the Olympics a little bit or still very much into the footy?
Still in the footy, mate, but yeah, my concentration is starting to wane a little bit. My season hasn't been the best, so I'm not been knocked out of quite a few leagues already, which is really annoying. And I think the ones I'm still in might be bottom half leagues anyway. So, yeah, I'm starting to think, is there anything else on TV or something else to do on a weekend? But having said that, I'll still go along and watch The Power on the weekend and pray for a miracle, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want something else to do, mate, I'm very much looking forward to Australian Survivor starts on Sunday night. I'm a massive Survivor fan, watched every series, every episode, and so pretty keen to see the high-budget Australian version this week.
Yeah, certainly on board with that, mate. I'll be turning my attention to other TV shows in the next week. But nah, seriously, though, still love footy and looking forward to the finals. Should be a really competitive final series this year. I think a lot of evenness about the teams this year.
We do want to say a massive thanks to you, Duddy, for all your regular appearances across our podcast throughout the year. So it's been invaluable to have you on and stood in for Mark a couple of times this season as well in what could have been the best shows of the season. So
well, that's the sort of things I was hearing, that they were the best shows of the year. But thanks, boys. Thanks again for having me on this year. Really love coming on, having a chat to you guys, and I hope everyone out there has had a really good season and didn't take any of my advice because my team hasn't gone too well.
Hope you choke on your snot, Marcus.
And to our Patreon listeners out there, you can catch Donny again for our Super Coach review at the end of the season. Hopefully we can get you back on, Donny, to have a look at what we could have done better and what we did well for season 2016, and we'll record that during the final series sometime. So apart from that, don't forget, 2 more weeks left, but you can still head on to Facebook and Twitter to ask us questions on the Tuesday night. Thank you so much for tuning in all year and continuing to tune in, those of you who are still listening, and we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.